Hello and welcome to the inaugural first episode of the X-Files podcast. I am JP from the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror, hailing out of Southwest PA, and joining me tonight is the horror file, the man, the myth, the legend, Kyle from South Carolina, I believe?
Yeah, man. Coming from South Carolina up here in upstate, kind of near, I'm near Georgia and North Carolina, kind of on the border of both. So, yeah, the man, the myth, the legend, coming back from nowhere.
Kyle has a YouTube channel that you can check out. It is The Horror File. You guys, I'm sure some of our listeners are coming from the 22 Shots. You guys have heard him on an episode or two before. Definitely check out Kyle's stuff. The idea for this podcast, now, it will be a weekly, we assume, podcast in which we journey through the X-Files series episode by episode, season by season. I did the math, and if we did one episode a week, it would take like 3.8 years to go through the series.
That's insane to think about that.
Yeah, so we don't exactly know. We're at least going to go through season one. I think that's a fair statement. And if it takes off, we'll continue going. And maybe during some downtime with my other projects, we could do multi-episodes a week, which I think would be fun as well. It depends on how it goes. So if you guys like it, watch it or listen to it, and then we will keep going. And I have a lot of excitement for this idea. And I thought that it was a pretty original idea until I did some research today, and I found out there's like tons of people who have done this. And I did kind of dabble around and listen to a few minutes of different shows that are X-Files related, and I noticed one common thing, and that was that they were all coming from the perspective of people who were huge fanboys of the show. So I thought that we could bring an interesting perspective to this topic, which is the X-Files, because I am pretty oblivious to the entire series. I've seen a handful of episodes, and Kyle is actually a fan, super fan of the episodes. So we have this interesting dynamic that I haven't seen done, where it's like the noob and the fanboy. And I think it adds an interesting dynamic. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, shit, I've been watching this show. God, the first time I ever saw the first episode of the X-Files I ever saw was back like around when it first came out. Like, I've been a huge fan of this show. I mean, actually a huge fan of David Duchovny, period. Like, I think he's a great actor. But, I mean, as far as the X-Files go, I followed the show. I've actually rewatched the show several times. I've probably seen, we're about to talk about the first episode. I was telling JP before we started, I've probably seen this episode at least, you know, 8 to 10 times, somewhere in there. It's like when I rewatched the episode, I actually rewatched this episode today just to kind of go back through and, you know, kind of revisit it again. Like, when I start watching it, I'm like, wow, I've seen this so many times. Like, it's like I can watch the first 5 minutes of the episode and be like, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know every single scene. It's just kind of crazy. Like, I've always just been a really huge fan of this show. So I thought it was a good idea that me and him did it. I mean, he's watched the episodes, or a good bit of the episodes. I don't know. Have you seen all the episodes, JP?
Oh, hell no, dude. I've seen maybe 10 episodes total.
Yeah. So, I mean, he hasn't watched, you know, very many bit of the episodes. So I think it's really cool. I've seen, you know, all 9 seasons. There's 9 seasons out. I've seen all of them probably roughly 3 or 4 times. I've seen some of the episodes multiple times. Also, obviously, they're coming out with a 10th season, which will air, I believe, in January on Fox. So I think it's a good idea for us to go through this. I think it'll be cool. I got a bunch of detailed notes on this first episode to kind of let you guys know what happens. And hopefully you guys can follow along. You enjoy it. So
yeah, definitely follow along. That's one thing that I wanted to mention. This will be weekly as far as we know, and we won't be covering multiple episodes per show. We will only cover one episode per show. If we decide to do more episodes per week, then they will be separate shows. I really am very strict on just wanting to do one episode per show. And it would be great if the people listening, because there will be spoilers throughout, would follow along, watch the episode, then listen to our podcast. I think that's a great model. I think you guys will have a lot of fun with it. And one thing that I did want to mention is, for me personally, this will not be as, you know, analytical as I normally get. This is kind of a chill. I want to take this show in. I want to experience it. I'm not going to be picking things apart. I'm just kind of going to be, a lump of clay, and I want this show to mold me into either a fan or not a fan. You know, I don't know. I might not like this show, but I think it's an interesting journey for me to experience. And that's why I thought this was so cool, is because I really have not seen many of these episodes. Now, I will say that I do remember the show quite significantly. I grew up in the 90s. I do remember seeing it around. I knew the music. I knew what The X-Files was, essentially. I remember being a kid laying in my uncle's bedroom, you know, renting movies, and then he would turn on the TV, and I remember the music, and it would be real eerie and scare the shit out of me. And I really was too young to pay attention and really see what was going on, but I do remember it. And throughout the years, you know, maybe I flipped on an episode or two, and, you know, I'm sure actually probably as we go through this series, I'll see one and I'll be like, oh, dude, I totally remember this. I didn't even know that was an X-Files episode, you know? So that's entirely possible. The first time I seen it, I don't remember, but I do own a lot of the seasons on DVD, and I've been meaning to check them out. This is a great way to do it. And I'm curious, Kyle, when was your first experience with the X-Files? In this opening episode, I think it's important that you kind of touch on, you know, how you became a fan.
Yeah, for sure. So with this show, it kind of is nostalgia for me, because when I was younger in the 90s, you know, whenever the first episode aired, I remember my father, my dad, he was a huge fan of the show. Like he just would always play, you know, he would always turn on the show the day it came on. You know, the big thing now is The Walking Dead. Back then in the 90s, really the big thing, well, other than Seinfeld, which obviously was a huge 90s yeah. was X-Files. So I remember, like, you know, with my dad in the living room, first time I ever saw the X-Files, I remember hearing the music. Like, the music is like those creepy things you never forget. Like, I remember, like, when I was growing up, like, every time I would hear the X-Files music, I'd be so scared. I was like, oh, my God, like, you know, I'm about to see something I don't want to see. But, yeah, I remember him watching the show, and you know, I'd be out there with him in the living room or wherever we'd be at, and we'd be checking out the show, and, you know, I always found it to be very, very scary as a kid. Like, I never wanted to see it, but I always had to, you know, I always watched it because I was always with my dad, like, at night.
Yeah, and it's like you wanted to see it, but you didn't want to see it.
Exactly, yeah. And you heard the music. It was kind of like Unsolved Mysteries, if you remember.
Yeah, because that's an eerie theme too, right? Unsolved Mysteries and The X-Files might be the two eeriest themes of the 90s.
Scariest themes ever. Like, I think that Unsolved Mysteries may be a little bit, a tad bit more scary than X-Files. But The X-Files, when you heard that theme, you were like, fuck this. You're like, I do not want to see this shit. But I remember the first episode I ever saw of the X-Files was not the first episode ever. It wasn't the episode we're going to talk about today. The first episode I ever saw was an episode, I don't remember what season it was. I want to say it was the first season. I think it was the first season, where it was this car that was driving down a road, and this bright light comes on, and it's kind of typical. And these aliens come out of nowhere, and they walk up to the car, and you see the aliens. And they abduct these people in the car. And I like, that was one thing that just burned into my mind about the show that, like, scared the shit out of me. I remember, like, having nightmares about those aliens for months. And, like, this is one of those shows that, like, something else I wanted to talk about with this is you don't have to actually follow the plot in this show. Like, it's really cool. Basically, they have a backstory in these episodes where you can follow the story to it. And obviously there's, like, kind of a backstory that is kind of linear to all the rest of the episodes in the series. But you can actually start this show in the eighth or ninth season and not miss anything. Like, every episode it has a backstory that's connected, but you don't have to necessarily follow the backstory. So that's kind of why I like shows like this. Like, you don't have to necessarily, with Walking Dead, you can start the show in the fourth season and you have no fucking idea what's going on with the shit. Like, yeah, it's just one of those shows that, like, if you miss one episode and somebody dies, you're like, what the hell happened? But with X-Files, you know, you can start it in, like, the last season, and, you know, things will happen that you're not really sure about, but yet there'll be a storyline with each episode that you can follow just for that episode. So I like that about the show a lot.
So what Kyle's basically saying, I do know about this just from my history of being around film and TV and being obsessed with this type of stuff. I do know a bit about the X-Files. And from what I understand, there are sort of your main episodes, in which are the sort of overarching main story. And then there's, like, the Monster of the Week episodes, which just a different unexplained thing going on that the two FBI agents are investigating. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're completely correct. Yeah, so like, let's just take for instance. So there's a common theme, and we're going to talk about this in the first episode of Mulder's sister, the main character's sister, being abducted by aliens. That's just one of the main things that, like, even people that don't know about the show kind of know. You know, they probably heard about that. Mulder's sister gets abducted by aliens, or so, you know, so be it. But that's kind of like one of the backstories to the show. But the first episode deals with something that has nothing to do with it. It's like an investigation into a murder. So it's like you can watch the show. You hear a little bit of, you know, things going on about his sister being disappeared. But also there's a story about a murder that you pretty much follow the murder story. And you hear hints of his sister being abducted. But you don't necessarily have to follow the backstory to it. You can still listen to the main story of the episode and be good.
Yeah, so it really is like kind of a genius platform, right? Because you have this hardcore fan base that will pick up on all these things and will continue along and will pay attention to all the, you know, inner workings of the story. And then you have the people who might just flip it on every other week and just check out what's happening this time. And you're not going to throw those people off, and the hardcores are still going to be there because they still see all the interwoven stuff. That's a great idea. And, you know, honestly, I don't think any show really does that right now that I know of.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything like any show that I watch currently. I don't watch a lot of TV shows. Like I do follow Walking Dead. I will be that guy and say I follow that show because, I mean, I actually read the comic, so I've been following that show forever. But, you know, I can't think of any show that's out there right now that you really don't have to follow like a linear storyline. Like most shows that are out right now, I mean, it's in a good example of a TV show that's like this. And I don't know if any of the listeners have watched a Star Trek episode, but Star Trek, every series of that show, no matter if it was The Next Generation, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, whatever it be, you could watch any episode of that show and don't have to follow the plot of that show. Like, you don't have to follow a linear storyline. It's exactly like that. And a lot of 90s shows were like that, which, mm-hmm. like, you don't find that nowadays with, like, a lot of TV shows. Like, yeah. Most of the time, you got to follow the TV show in order to find out what's going on.
Yeah, and I like both. I like both styles. I think both have their special, you know, cases, which it works and it doesn't work. But overall, I think it's good. But before we, you know, continue along into the episode, actually, let's just mention what The X-Files is. I mean, it was a TV show that ran from 1993 till a lot of years later. I have 9 seasons, 202 episodes, I believe, 2 movies, and a revival.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been around for a while. Like, I remember, like, the first movie itself. Like, I actually went and saw the first movie in the theater. And I don't know if you guys have seen the movies or not, the listeners. But that's another example of not having to follow, like, any storyline going on in the show. But the first movie was scary as shit. I remember seeing that movie for the first time, and I was like, ooh. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, it did spawn 2 movies. It spawned a revival series, like JP said, that's coming out next year. You know, it's pretty crazy how popular the show became.
I think it even had a couple of spinoffs and a 10th season comic book.
Yeah, the Lone Gunman was the spinoff, which was some of the characters that were in the show that actually kind of, like, you know, talk to Mulder and Scully in the show. It's kind of a different story. We won't get into that, but that was the spinoff show. I don't think there was any other spinoffs other than that, but the comic book came out. I didn't really read the comic book, so I'm not that hardcore in reading the comic book, but I think the comic book basically dealt with, like, themes similar to the show, which was, like, random stories and things of that nature.
All right. Yeah. So, I guess you want to get into the actual episode, which is the pilot episode.
Yeah, we will get into the episode. I like I said, I took some detailed notes on this, so hopefully you guys will be able to follow along. And you know, if you have any issues following along, definitely pause the episode and kind of revisit what I'm talking about. But pretty much, this is the pilot episode. This is season 1, episode 1. Pretty much, it starts out the first scene that you see a girl running through the woods right when the episode starts. Right when, as she's running through the woods, you see a bright light. Basically, for the first 2 minutes, she's running. She's kind of scared. You see a bright light and a man standing over her and holding her. And that's when the first part of the episode cuts off. So it kind of, I think the theme they're trying to go for with this is they're trying to get people interested within the first 30 minutes of the show, you know, to let them know, hey, it's kind of an alien show. This is kind of what's going on. But it kind of just looks like a general abduction or alien, you know, quote unquote abduction. But yeah, the girl's running through the woods, bright light. There's a bright, huge bright light in the woods. And then there's a man holding her and standing over her, standing over her and then holding her. And then the scene cuts off.
I believe there was I noticed, you know, it's a TV show and it's one of those TV shows where the commercial breaks are very obvious. So, it's honestly like kind of this like brief, it's always a suspenseful scene or something like that. Yeah. It's kind of interesting watching 90s TV like that.
It's one thing funny. That some of the scenes where it cuts off when you watch it on Netflix and stuff, it's so like the commercial breaks are so obvious, like you said, yeah. Shitty. Like it's like, why would you cut to commercial break at this one point in time? Like it's like it cuts off and it comes back at the exact same point in time. It's just kind of weird. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Also, I will note that I noticed this upon rewatch because a couple months ago I started watching the first season, and so it was kind of fresh in my head. But there's no opening theme X-Files thing going on here in this first episode.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I didn't write that down, and I was thinking about that like completely. Like, there's literally no theme like in the first episode, so it's kind of like it cuts off to the X, like where the theme would be, and there's like no music whatsoever. So it's kind of weird when you first watch it because every other episode has like the X-Files music. So I think like they were still kind of getting the concept down, and there's like no like actually no song like X-Files song. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and shortly after that scene that you just described, we are introduced to our lead characters actually. And one of them is Agent Dana Scully. And we are introduced to her first, I believe.
Yeah, actually, she's introduced. And what I was going to say is when it cuts back, before we get introduced to the characters, it cuts back and there's a you see a dead body in the woods. There's a little bit of an investigation going on. That's when it cuts back to Scully. Like you said, it is her first. She's walking into the FBI headquarters. To have a meeting with some of the head FBI people, which is like I think it's the director of the FBI and some other people. I think there's like one other guy there, and that's when you first get introduced to the cigarette smoking man as well.
Okay, now I have heard of that before, so I take it that this is a reoccurring like antagonist or you know, throw some salt in their game type guy.
Yeah, so the cigarette smoking man is like kind of like a reoccurring character throughout the show. He wouldn't really be considered an antagonist.
Okay.
He is, and I don't really want to give it away in this.
Okay. So he's just a mysterious character that we'll find out more about later.
You'll find more about him, like you said, within the first couple of seasons.
But he is significant to first being introduced to him.
Very significant. He is one of the key roles in this entire TV show. So we won't, you know, discuss exactly what he is right now, but you do see him in the room with Scully when she's first introduced. She's actually being asked about Fox Mulder, which is obviously Mulder from the show, David Duchovny's character. And she states, they kind of ask him, do you know who Fox Mulder is? And she says that he's the best analyst in the violent crime section of the FBI. And she also says that they call him Spooky, which you will hear throughout the show that he is called Spooky by the Bureau. So
he kind of has a reputation of being this guy who is a little eccentric and maybe really into some kooky stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he is like very eccentric and I mean, you kind of find out obviously like what type of character Mulder is, but he's definitely well known by the rest of the Bureau. And he has like a really big following of, you know, what people think about him. And they obviously have a guy that they're going to call Spooky.
Yeah.
Indication of what people think about him. So,
I find this whole opening scene to really set a lot of like character development up because right away you get this almost Clarice Starling type vibe from Dana Scully. Like she's just a tough, like awesome chick who like is very went out and got everything that she needs in life with you know, education and really like pushed real hard in her life, like a real go getter.
Yeah, I mean she's basically she has a a degree in medicine. So she's a doctor. And, you know, she is, you know, kind of got, she's kind of on her A game. I mean, she went to school. She became a doctor. She actually applied and became an FBI agent. So, I mean, she's pretty much got it all going on. And the reason she actually said that she wanted to work on the FBI in the FBI is because it was kind of like a clear path for her. And she liked doing like investigation things and things of that nature. So you kind of get introduced to her character, and she
seems to take her job and everything very seriously, very, very professional, just very, by the book.
Which you can understand why the FBI, once we kind of explain why she's with the FBI and why she starts working with Mulder, when you get her introduced to her character, you kind of understand why they want her to, be with Mulder. She's a skepticist.
There's ulterior motives there. Yes. It seems.
So, to kind of get into that really quick. So when she's in this meeting with the cigarette smoking man and, you know, the director and all them, they ask her about Mulder, like I was saying. And then she's assigned to work side by side with Mulder. She's kind of like confused of why she's being assigned to, you know, Fox Mulder. And she knows about him. She knows what he does. She knows what the X-Files are. She doesn't obviously.
So what are the X-Files? We need to know that, right?
Yeah. So it's in the first episode, it's called the X-Files Project. Pretty much it's a
collection
of paranormal and unexplained files from, you know, certain towns. Like if there was something that was committed or something that happened, these are paranormal and unexplained events that are categorized and put in a file system at the FBI.
Yeah, so, which are dubbed the X-Files.
Which are dubbed the X-Files.
And I believe Mulder is assigned to the X-Files, correct?
Yes, Mulder is assigned to the X-Files. He's actually, you know, pretty much they just kind of throw him there. He apparently was a really good murder analyst, like I was saying earlier, but he ended up being in the X-Files because of certain events. So he's there, and they kind of feel, and you can tell this in the first episode, you can tell the FBI kind of feels like he's a threat.
Yeah, they're obviously using Scully as some sort of motive because they feel either threatened or they feel like they can keep better tabs on Mulder. There's definitely something there, and you can definitely see that right away. I'm not sure if Scully is 100% aware of it at first, but she even thinks that something is up.
Well, you can kind of tell from her that she kind of thinks it's odd that, you know, they're obviously assigning her to Mulder, and two, that they're worried about what's going on with the X-Files. Like, and the cool thing about it for me, like thinking about it, is like I can see this actually happening. Like, I know there's like a lot of government cover-ups with things. I believe in that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, maybe you guys are skepticists, but I do believe in conspiracies, you know, certain conspiracies and things of that nature.
This show is going to be great because I would be the Scully of the group.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel
weird. And I have to prove you wrong, right?
Yeah, because I am naturally a skeptic. And that's the interesting dynamic with these characters right away, man. I was like, I really love that. It's the perfect dynamic because you have this guy who just – he knows. He knows it's real. And as an audience, we know it's real because we see things. But, you know, the characters don't, but Mulder does. And Scully is the skeptic. She's like – science and this and that, and it's a great dynamic. It's honestly a perfect dynamic, and I honestly don't think it would work if the gender roles were switched. Let's say Scully was the believer and Mulder was the skeptic, because then I almost feel like it would downplay because she is a woman, and it would be like, oh yeah, it's just Scully, she's, you know, crazy. I feel like the gender role has to be this way, and it's kind of weird to say that, but I really do think that it only works this way, at least at the time of 1993 when this was made.
JP's so sexist right now.
No, I swear I'm not.
I agree with you. Like, it would definitely not work. If Scully was the Mulder of the group, that it wouldn't work whatsoever. Like, and I hate to say that. Like, I'm not trying to, like, disempower women or anything by saying that, but it just makes more sense for a guy to be in the role of Mulder than a woman, just because, like,
because one, it's a vulnerability too. Like, you're looked at as, because honestly, a lot of people look at the characters, look at Mulder like he's, you know, this freaking Mulder. He's crazy, you know? And, like, he's into all this weird shit. And if it was a female, it would almost be too much. It would be, like, too much of a hatred and a dislike. And you want the female role to be very strong, which Scully definitely is.
I think that's a good thing for women because, like, I feel like women don't see through bullshit more than men do. Like, men can see through – like, men see less through bullshit than women do. So I think that's, like, not a – I don't want to say sexist thing or anything. But I feel like a woman would see more through bullshit, like, conspiracies or, like, not believe it than a man would. You know what I mean? Like – yeah. Men kind of like are gullible with things like that. Like, I know I believe in conspiracies. I may be gullible. I feel like my girlfriend would be more like, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, say, yeah. Hey, that's bullshit.
But yeah, and it's dangerous to make the girl gullible, right?
Yeah.
It's dangerous to do that because then it might not come off as like, you know, cute. It might come off as like a big negative, like just a downbeat type of thing. So I'm glad, you know, it makes sense what they did. It's obvious. And I definitely like the character dynamic. So, you know, Scully, back to the story, she is introduced to Mulder you know, take it from there.
Yes. And something that, like, before we get back into the plot, I don't want to get sidetracked. Something I wanted to say and I wanted your opinion on, actually, and I actually made a note of this. It's kind of funny I made a note of this, but I fucking love the music in this episode. Did you just like absolutely love the 80s, early 90s music that was like kind of in the background of this episode? I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, dude. That's one of the reasons why I love anything that came out in the 90s because I grew up there. It's very nostalgic to me. And honestly, even the look of the way things are filmed, just the tints, just the way they dress and stuff, it's very nostalgic to me and I love that stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say the music, like, and the next scene shows Scully, you know, she's assigned to the X-Files project, basically to debunk the X-Files. Like, they know that she's not gonna be into this kind of thing. She's not into conspiracies. She's a very professional doctor type. She just got out of school, and they want her to write up reports of what she sees, and they want them to be scientific. They don't want them to be off of bullshit like Mulder's going to give them. So she's basically set to debunk the X-Files, and then it shows her walking down the hall for the first time. She's going to meet Mulder, and this old school, like, 80s, like, late 80s, early 90s music's, like, in the background. It kind of reminds me of, like, John Carpenter or, you know, just older 80s, like horror movie music. And I just thought that was really cool. And basically, she goes into the room. She meets Mulder for the first time. He already pretty much knows who she is because, obviously, FBI agent. He kind of, like, knew that someone was
going to... He did his homework on her. Yeah. And it almost is like she's kind of impressed with that as well because that's the type of stuff that she does.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the cool thing about it, like, you see throughout the whole series, there's, like, this really big tension chemistry between the two.
I'm sure you can see right off the bat that's probably where the story is going. You know, I obviously don't know, which is exciting to me that I'm not going to know and I get to walk through this stuff and I might be thinking it goes one way and it might go a different way. But yeah, there's definitely some sort of chemistry right away that you can definitely tell.
Yeah, yeah. And something I was going to mention, like, and I'm glad that we're having this first episode and talking about this first episode about the movies, and I'm saying this for all of our listeners and for you, JP, because I know you said you haven't seen any of the movies, correct? Okay. Which is only two, but I would not recommend watching the first movie until you've seen anything after, until you're up to season four. I would say season four is a good season to go ahead and watch the first movie. The second movie, and we'll probably have podcasts on each of these movies, which I'm hoping we do.
That is the plan.
Yeah. The second movie I wouldn't recommend watching until maybe a season or two after the first movie, so maybe like the seventh season. So if you guys are planning on following along with us and starting the first season and maybe working up to the ninth, tenth season once it comes out, don't watch the first movie until around the fourth season. That way you kind of got a background for Mulder and Scully and kind of understand what they're about before you see the movies. The movies have nothing to do with the show. Let's just say the storyline has nothing to do whatsoever with the show other than the conspiracy, which obviously is a huge factor within the show. There's conspiracies and all kinds of alien stuff going on, which everybody should know off the bat. But those are good seasons to watch each of those movies. So I just want to say that off the bat and kind of set the record straight for that. So.
If you're going to do it chronologically, the fifth season came out, and then right after it, the movie came out, continued with the sixth season, and then all the way up till nine, and then after the ninth season, the second movie came out.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah, I mean, and you don't have to really – for the second movie – which, by the way, I will say this, Exhibit is in the second movie. How fucking hilarious is that shit?
Well, I love Exhibit, so.
Yeah. Pimp My Ride, right? Anyway, like, yeah, I mean, you don't have to really wait till the ninth season to see the second movie. You can even watch both movies back to back. But I just wanted to, like, set that straight in the first episode so everybody kind of knows, you know, what's going on. And something else I will say before we get back into the plot of the episode, all these seasons are on Netflix. So if you don't own the seasons, go on Netflix and just watch them. I mean, they've been on Netflix for years. I've watched all these episodes. Like, me and my brother, like, we're huge X-Files fans. So we just throw on episodes, random episodes, just throw them on Netflix and just watch them. So recommend going on Netflix. You don't necessarily have to own them, but there is a Blu-ray box set coming out of all the episodes, and the Blu-ray box set looks really, really cool.
It does. I'm thinking
about buying it. I would recommend, you know, either buying that or just watching my Netflix, whichever you prefer.
Yeah. What I recommend personally is maybe check them out on Netflix if you're not a huge buyer. They're also on Hulu Plus. And then if you feel like you're going to like the show, go ahead and pick up the first season on DVD. I got it for like $7.88 at a Walmart. Yeah. They're super cheap. And then if you really like the show, save up, buy that Blu-ray set. It looks like a fantastic set. Yeah. I'm happy right now with the DVDs, but, you know, depending on how the show goes, who knows? And so let's jump back into the episode. Kyle, where did we leave off?
Let's do it. So basically where we left off, Mulder, so Scully goes into the room, meets Mulder. This is the first time they've ever met. So Scully's kind of like questioning him. He's questioning her. You can tell, like, me and JP were talking right off the bat, there's a huge chemistry between the two. Like, I you know, if you guys have ever had a girlfriend or met a girl, the first time you see each other, you know, you see somebody that you really like and you look at each other, there's some kind of chemistry going on if you really like each other. Mm-hmm. That's like hugely, you can tell that's like a huge part of the scene where Scully walks into the room. Mulder kind of has, like JP said, already done his homework. He knows kind of what's going on. And they look at each other and you just can tell right off the bat, this is going to be like an awesome show. They're going to have a lot of chemistry. So basically what happens is they go into the room. Mulder has already been kind of investigating, like we talked about in the first scene where there was a girl running through the woods. There was a bright light with a man standing over a woman. He's been investigating a bunch of murders that are similar to that. Plus that.
Yeah, one of the things is that the bodies have these two little kind of welts, dots, gross looking things on them. And, it's happened to a few different bodies all over the place, and they all just happen to be from the same graduating class.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're all coming. It's all the kids that are, you know, graduating. They're coming from the same graduating class. He's showing Scully slides of these different murders, and they all have, like JP said, these two, like, they look like vampire bites on their back.
They
like
do.
Back. And then Mulder's kind of like, you know, what do you think these are, Scully? Give me your expert doctor opinion. And she's like, oh, it could be like, you know, a spider bite or like an insect bite. And then he's like, well, what is this? And he shows her like a graph of the
molecules.
And she says that they are not organic material, and she can't identify them. So,
and he says, neither can I.
Yeah, neither can I. So that kind of starts out, oh, there's going to be a conspiracy here, or there's going to be a alien thing here or something going on. So next couple of scenes, I'm not going to like get really detailed on this, but next couple of scenes, they travel to Oregon to investigate the murders and see what's going on. And Mulder and Scully are driving down the road, kind of like going to this murder scene or going to this, I think they're going to a graveyard. And their car, the radio in the car starts skipping and making weird noises and stuff. So Mulder gets out and he actually spray paints an X in the middle of the road to kind of indicate where this started happening at.
And, you know, this is something that I noticed, and I did notice it like throughout the show as well. I did say I seen a handful of the first season, Mulder often does things, or at least it seems to me that he does things, and Scully's like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, always just has his own thing that he's doing, and he explains it later.
It's really funny because, like, that you say that, because, like, that scene that we're talking about where he spray paints the road, like, he stops the car, doesn't say anything, he gets out, opens the trunk, gets a can of spray paint, and just spray paints a big X in the road, and, like, it cuts back to a scene where, like, it shows Scully, and she's like, what in the actual fuck are you doing? And, like, she asks Mulder, and something about Mulder is when she kind of questions him about things, he always gives her the runaround, or gives her, like, a really short explanation for what he's doing, mm-hmm. which I love that. I think that's so awesome that, like, they kind of, like, wrote his character to just give her short explanations and make her figure out what he's actually doing. Yeah. So, you know, because obviously if he said, oh, I'm putting an X on the road because the radio skipped and there's going to be an alien abduction here or there's alien activity, she's going to make fun of him. But he knows this, and he's smarter than her, even though she's a doctor, and this is what he says. So, I don't know. I just found that kind of funny. So, but anyway, to get back into the rest of the episode, they end up going to a cemetery where there's a body being exhumed, which is another
great scene.
Say that again?
I said great scene.
Yes, and where there's another kid that was in the graduating class that, you know, all these kids keep getting abducted. They're exhuming the body of the kid, and the casket, as they're pulling it out from the ground, the casket actually falls and rolls over, and which I'll say this before I finish the scene. I found this scene hilarious because this would probably never happen. Or if it does, it's like,
yeah, one. How, like, how do you figure that the strap is just going to break? It's so just, yeah. You know,
it's so generic. Like yeah. The strap, it cuts to a scene where they're pulling the casket out of the ground. They're exhuming this body because the FBI want to look at the body. Cause it was one of the kids that, you know, a similar thing happened to. And it cuts to a scene where it shows the little cord that's holding up the little the seam to the cord that's holding up the casket from the bulldozer.
Yeah, you've seen this scene 1,000 times in 1,000 different movies.
Yeah,
that, you know, it just, you know, threads off and snaps, and then the casket goes rolling down the hill. What are the odds of that happening? It's for dramatic effect. It's a TV show. But yeah, you're right. It is a little funny.
Very generic. I mean, the casket falls, it rolls over like it's probably 5 or 6 times, hits a gravestone, and the casket opens up. Mulder and Scully plus the, I can't remember who the guy was that was with them. I want to say it was the
sheriff.
Who was the little guy that was there with them? The guy that they were talking to right when they walked up. I can't
remember. Not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly who it was. The sheriff was there, but I can't remember who the other guy was. But anyway, they run up to the casket, and they open up the casket. You know, the guy's like, hey, this is a procedure. We're not supposed to open up a casket without, like, you know, proper procedure. And Mulder's like, is it procedure to drop a casket and let it roll over a million times? And they open up the casket, and there's, like, a skeletal remains of not a human. I mean, you can look at it and tell it's not a human. To me, it looks like an ape or like a chimpanzee, like Scully thinks it is.
Yeah, so they take it back, and I believe it was the medical examiner of the town who was trying to stop them or whatever.
Yeah, so the medical examiner runs up, and he's like, what are you guys doing? But right before all this happens with the casket rolling over, he's like, what are you guys doing? You guys don't have proper procedure for this. You don't have, like, a warrant to do this. And, you know, Mulder's like, you know, basically we're FBI. We can do what we want kind of deal.
So they do they have an autopsy scene, which, you know, honestly, it's a little chilling to see that. In 1993, I was a little like, whoa, you know, this is pretty, you know, brutal stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shows an autopsy scene, where, like, the, whatever was in the casket, you know, the skeletal remains are laying on an autopsy table. Scully obviously being the, being the chick who, you know, who's the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
She starts looking into the actual skeletal remains, and she's like kind of digging into it, looking in the eye sockets and trying to figure out what it is. And she's like, you know, this isn't human, obviously. And Mulder's like taking pictures all around.
As soon as she says it isn't human, Mulder's like, then what is it? You know, he gets all
he's like all interested in shit.
Yeah. and she thinks that it's, you know, some sort of primate.
Yeah, and you know, I would be interested as well. I mean, he's trying to figure out, and he's trying to, he like automatically kind of assumes, not assumes, but hints at, he's like, it's alien. You know, he's like, it's not human. It's, and she's like, it's primate. It's either a monkey. And he's like, why would there be a monkey skeletal remain in a casket that Ray, I think his name's Ray something. He's one of the graduating students is supposed to be in. Like, why would that be there? And automatically Scully assumes that it's like a prank or a practical joke, but you know, who would do that? That's not really a funny practical joke. Like, who the fuck would just like open up, exhume a body, steal the body, and put a monkey skeleton in it? That's the fucking stupidest shit I've ever heard.
The reason it makes less sense is because, like, how the hell is anybody, like, you're really banking on something happening to need to dig that grave up for your joke to work out.
Exactly. Like, who has the fucking time to do that shit? Like, goddamn, that's a lot of work. Like, just to put a monkey skeleton in that motherfucker. Nobody knows what the joke is until you dig up the fucking grave. Like, who the hell's going to dig up a grave randomly?
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, I gotta side with Scully because it's like, you know, we know as an audience, right? But if you're really there, like, you're not instantly gonna think aliens. You're gonna be like, yeah, this looks kind of alien-like, but I'm not gonna think that it's an ad. There's some explanation for this. So, I'm with her. But
Exactly. And, like, right after that scene, after the scene where they're, like, kind of looking at the skeletal remains, it gets to a part where it shows Mulder and Scully walking with the, I guess, warden of this, like, psych ward. And they're talking about Ray, the guy that's supposed to be in the casket. He apparently was being treated for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, before he died. They're like, why was he being – they're kind of curious. Why was he being treated for PTSD right before he died? It's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of cuts back, and you find out that Billy Miles, which is – another guy from the graduating class, and Peggy, who is another chick from the graduating class, had the same markings as, you know, all the other people that keep experiencing this issue, you know, as Ray had when he died, as all these people, different people, have these same two markings on them, all the slides that Mulder was showing Scully originally in the first couple of scenes. They're all from the same class, the same graduating class. And Mulder says his opinion. Like, Scully's like, what do you think that this could be? Like, tell me what your opinion is. And Mulder's like, I think they were abducted. I mean, that kind of, honestly, that scene right there kind of just explains Mulder's character off the first episode to a T. Like, the rest of the series, he is a very big skeptic. Like, he just wants, not skeptic, but he's a very big conspiracy theorist. He wants to believe. So, pretty much throughout the series, you know, he believes in alien abductions. And if you guys, you don't really even need to follow the series to know that the show is about conspiracies and alien abductions and government cover-ups and things of that nature. So,
paranormal.
It's big on ghosts and things of that nature too.
Yeah, guys. So pretty much back to the episode. So Mulder, like I was saying, thinks that these kids were abducted by, you know, aliens. They have these two little marks on their back. So what they do, or what Mulder and Scully do, is actually go to the forest where all these kids are being, where the original, you know, the start of the episode kind of started, where you see this girl kind of hovered over this guy's body. They go to the forest and they start investigating where the kids disappeared at, or where all these disappearances are happening. So they're kind of walking through the forest. You see Scully kind of looking at the ground, and she picks up some dirt and puts it in her pocket. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's some weird noises, which prompts Scully to pull her gun out. And then she ends up seeing a huge bright light. She looks up and she sees a bright light, kind of like if you've seen or heard like people's stories about alien abductions. There's like a big bright light. Mm-hmm. She looks up and she sees this. And it ends up being the sheriff stating that they're trespassing on private property. He actually pulls up in his truck and like he has like these like gigantic lights above the truck, which are kind of funny because like you hear this like noise and you see these gigantic bright lights and like the noise is like his truck running and like bright lights are like on top of his truck. It's kind of like a redneck's truck or something. So they, you know, they're like, he's like, you're trespassing on private property. You need to leave. So they leave. So pretty much what happens at this point, this is kind of like a big point to the episode. This is kind of like one of the – I want to say it's like the not middle part, but the high point to the episode of kind of like
– It's when shit's going down.
shit starts going down right here. Exactly what JP said. So it starts raining. Like, it's like pouring rain when they leave, when they're told to leave by the sheriff. They're driving down the road. Mulder and Scully are kind of talking. All of a sudden, Mulder looks down at his watch. It's 9:03. They both experience time loss. So pretty much he looks down at his watch. You see this like scene where there's like a bright light and they kind of like look out and they're like, ah, you know, kind of like, and it kind of cuts off. And then it cuts back on and their car stops. And they stop on the side of the road while it's still raining. And Mulder looks at his watch, and it's 9 minutes faster. So it's like 9:12.
Yeah.
And they experienced 9 minutes of time loss. And he gets out of the car. He's like, we just like lost 9 minutes. We just lost yeah, 9 minutes.
He's pretty excited about it, honestly.
Yeah, and Scully's like, what the fuck is this dude doing? He's like, this guy's a fucking nut job. Like, and like they look down, and the big X that he had actually spray painted in the road is right there where they stopped, which is kind of crazy. Like, it's just like one of those things. You're like, okay, that makes sense. That's starting to lead up to something. So she's kind of like weirded out by this, and he's like very excited. Obviously he knew something like this was going to happen. So skip ahead a little bit. Scully goes home. She starts to get in the shower. She starts feeling some marks on her body, what she thinks are the two little bites that, you know, all the other kids have.
Yeah, they're kind of bumpy.
And obviously they experience this time loss. They're kind of like weirded. She's kind of weirded out by this.
She's getting very paranoid. Thinking that she's next and stuff, goes over to Mulder's hotel room, and there's another chemistry scene that happens when she asks him to check.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I need you to look at this. I want you to find out what's going on with this, that, you know, with what's going on with my back. She's like in her robe, you know, like with pretty much almost nothing on. And I'm gonna say this like off the bat, like for the record. Late 80s, early 90s Scully. Let's just say 90s Scully. 90s Gillian Anderson is the hottest chick ever to me. I don't know why.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, like, Scully is, like, super hot. Like, I was like, wow.
Like, I even told my girlfriend, like, it's funny because, like, before this episode even aired, like, last week, I went to Tennessee and I went to this record store and they had Gillian Anderson. How crazy is this? They had Gillian Anderson and X-Files stickers, like actual just Gillian Anderson stickers that you could put on your car, like bumper stickers. And like I picked one up and I was like, Jesus Christ, like Gillian Anderson is so fucking hot in the 90s.
I don't even know why, because I don't even like redheads for one.
Yeah, I've never been with a redhead. And like I look at her and I'm like, there's something about her.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like even now, she's still hot nowadays, but like back then she was like insanely hot. But like definitely. Anyway, back to the show. She, you know, she's in a robe. She's kind of, you know, she's in her panties, you know, bra, whatever. And she pulls off her robe and she, you know, has Mulder look at her lower back. He's looking at them kind of like, you know, I don't know what this could be. And he ends up, she's like, what is it? What is it? And he's like, it's mosquito bites. So
there was three of them as well.
False alarm. Yeah, it was kind of like, it looked exactly like the bites that, you know, all the other kids had, but it was a false alarm. It wasn't actual, you know, it wasn't the actual bites or the little punctures that the other kids had. So,
they almost look kind of like wart-like, the real ones. They're really gross. I don't like them.
Yeah, they look, I don't know. I agree with you, man. They look like skin tags or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's nasty shit, but. Pretty much she's like, you know, she's weirded out. She wants to sit there and talk to Mulder. And Mulder starts to talk about his sister, which this is a huge, and I want you guys to listen to what I have to say about this scene, because this is a huge, part of the entire series. Like
the mythology.
It has a huge part. It plays a huge role in Mulder's backstory in the entire series. He starts talking about his sister and how his sister disappeared. So basically when Mulder was younger, him and his sister, were in their house and, he saw a bright light and he went out to see what it was. And he says that he saw his sister being abducted by aliens. It gets more in depth about this later in the series, but, in this episode, he says he sees his sister, you know, he sees a bright light. He sees his sister being taken away. And then she just disappears and he never sees her again. And that's the reason why he joined the Bureau, why he joined the FBI, is because he wanted to investigate the paranormal, find out what was going on, kind of, you know, that just gave him initiative to actually join.
Yeah, we find out essentially what drives this character. The entire reason for his existence and his pursuit is based in this story.
which I honestly, I think that's an awesome concept. Like, his sister disappears. He wants to find out what happened. He believes that it obviously is due to quote unquote aliens. So, you know, you kind of find out what goes on there. But anyway, back to the main story of this episode. He kind of starts talking to Scully about his sister, and then he gets into how he's trying to access certain info, and, you know, within the internet at the time, within the bureau, and he's being blocked. So there's being a lot of attempts to block what he's looking up within the bureau's systems.
Yeah, so this kind of sheds a little light onto the fact that they're obviously hiding something, and it's sort of a him versus them thing. It sheds a little light on the government cover-ups.
Exactly. So back to the story. Peggy, which is one of the girls that was in this kind of psych ward that we were talking about earlier, one of the graduates.
She's in a wheelchair.
She's in a wheelchair in the scene that you see her in. Well, they get a call that she's actually – there's been an accident. So they go to see, and she was running away, and she actually got hit by a car. So she's dead. She's just dead in the next scene. So next scene comes up. Mulder and Scully go to the scene of the accident. Peggy O'Dell's laying there dead, and then they get another call that their hotel's on fire. So there's like two huge arcs in the story that's happening at the same time. So Peggy O'Dell's dead. She gets hit by a car, and then Mulder and Scully go back to their hotel, and it's completely on fire.
Yeah,
it's
which like, was significant because all of their research, all of their evidence was in there. So that's even more – this whole few scenes was like a big there's some serious shit. This is deep. What we're doing here is deep, and there's a lot of interworking things going on in this system.
Exactly. So obviously, like, whenever they roll up to their hotel, you know, it's on fire, and they see it, and they're like, oh, shit, like – all the pictures that we had, all the evidence, all the, you know, the sample that Scully took from the forest, the sample of dirt, that's all burned. It's all gone. And they're very concerned. I mean, I would be too if all my shit was on fire. So, I mean, like, they're pretty much like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, obviously something or somebody set that on fire to cover something up. That's just kind of obvious in the scene. So, kind of getting back to this, there's a girl named Teresa Nemens. She is actually the coroner's daughter, the guy that like is the one that's giving the autopsies to all these kids that keep dying. The daughter, it cuts to a scene where Mulder and Scully is kind of like in a Waffle House or like a diner, and Teresa Nemens is in there with them, and she's asking for protection because she states that she keeps finding herself in the woods year after year, and pretty much where everybody that graduated with her class is finding themselves. And her father is a medical examiner. And she's like, you know, my father thinks he can protect me, but he, you know, I have the marks that everybody else has, but I don't feel like he can. So I need your guys' like help. I need you guys to help me. So she's talking to Mulder and Scully in this diner. And she really, really wants to, she really, really wants the protection. You know, as they're talking, the sheriff comes in. He's like, you know, and the medical examiner, which is Teresa's, you know, father. And she's like, you know, he's like, you know, she gets a nosebleed, and he's like, you need to come with me. Random nosebleed obviously has something to do with the plot. He's like, you need to come with me. Don't talk to these FBI agents anymore. Just come with me. We'll protect you. And then in this scene, you actually find out another big arc of the story is that the sheriff, which is the guy that was telling the Mulder and Scully to leave the forest earlier, he's actually Billy Miles's, which is the guy laying in a coma in the psych ward. He's his father. So the sheriff is actually the, you know, pretty much the main character of the episode's father, which is Billy Miles. He's a big part of the actual episode. So you kind of find out a big, big thing in the story in this.
It's a big reveal.
Big reveal. Yeah, exactly. Mulder and Scully, they start talking whenever the girl, you know, is taken away by her father, by the medical examiner. And they're like, hey, you know, would you be curious to see, what else is in these other graves of these other kids that got, you know, killed or got, had these puncture wounds? And pretty much they go to the graveyard again where the other body was exhumed, where the monkey skeleton was. And the two other kids that died, you know, from the same similar incident, their graves are already exhumed without them even knowing. So, you know, I don't know. What would you think at this point, JP? I mean, it's pretty much like Mulder and Scully are like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I mean.
Yeah, like, what's really going on? You know what I mean? So, like, this is deep now.
Yeah, so it's starting to get – the plot's starting to get really, really deep and really, really in-depth. And, you know, they go visit Billy Miles after they say that these two murder victims were exhumed that were killed from the similar circumstances. And Billy Miles is just – you know, he's in bed in the psych ward. He's in a coma. And Mulder thinks that Billy Miles has been doing these actual murders. So it's kind of a – weird twist to the story. You got a guy that's in a coma. You got an FBI agent thinking this guy's the one doing the murders. So they're looking over Billy Miles. They're talking to the nurse that's taking care of him. And Scully notices that Billy Miles's feet are really, really dirty. Like, they look like they've been in the woods.
They look like the same stuff that she took as a sample earlier, that ash.
Exactly, yeah. So the stuff that's on his feet are pretty much the same. You know, it's the same stuff that was in the forest earlier when she took.
Yeah, and it's honestly another important scene for Scully as well, because it shows that she's as capable as Mulder in terms of intelligence and noticing things, and she's really on top of her game as well.
Yeah, she really is. Like Scully, and that's a good point, JP. Like, she notices things that Mulder would have noticed that probably, but like. I think that like the whole character development is like she's trying to, in a way, like they're trying to make her impress Mulder in front of like the audience. Like,
yes,
they're trying to say, hey, you know, she knows what she's doing. She knows her shit. This is what's going on. So so basically what happens at this point, once she finds out, hey, you know, Billy Miles has been in the woods recently. What the fuck? Like, she's like the non-skepticist here. So she is like, what's going on? They go to the woods where, you know, all this stuff is happening, where they took the samples originally, and they hear a scream, like a huge girl scream. And they see the detective or the sheriff's car there. And they go into the woods. They're walking around. Scully gets hit by a shotgun. Like, there was a shot, not a blast, but like the sheriff actually like pretty much knocks her out with the shotgun butt. And is like, I told you not to come here. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't have came in the woods. I told you not to come here. I told you to leave. You're trespassing. And she's pretty much knocked out at this point. She's got blood running down her head. She's laying on the ground. And then it cuts out to a scene where Mulder's running toward the scream, and he sees Billy, which is the guy that's laying in the hospital bed, which is the guy that's supposedly in a coma. He's in the forest holding a girl, and there's a huge bright light, like an alien light. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the scene pretty much, like, the whole screen is, like, expanding this light. And the scene cuts out, and then the girl's laying on the ground, and Billy's standing there. And he ends up, you know, not having any marks anymore. Any of those two little marks that we were talking about earlier in the show. He ends up not having those marks anymore. So pretty much Mulder, like the Billy's dad, which is the sheriff, was going to shoot Billy in this scene. And Mulder pretty much tackles him, and Billy is holding this girl up. The light comes on, and then it cuts out, and the girl's laying on the ground, and Billy doesn't have these marks anymore. So it seems like Mulder interrupted something, which, you know, could be – The girl was going to get abducted by aliens. You know, it's really hard to tell at this point. But I mean, up to this point, there's more to the episode. But let's. I mean, what do you think so far, JP? I mean, what did you think about the episode so far up to this point before we get into the ending of the episode?
Okay, so I like the core concept. One of the things that I like most about at least the first episode is the dynamic of Mulder and Scully. Like, that's truly what I eat up. I do feel like there's a lot of filler in these, and I'll probably discuss that as we continue along with the series. One of my key problems was that I just felt some things were just too long, and overall I'm not sure if this show would have worked better as a half hour show instead of a hour long TV series, you know, especially in the 90s. But you know, nowadays everything's so action-packed, and just stuff's happening, bigger budgets and stuff. But things were more tame in the 90s. And I have always so far had sort of issues with the just pacing of things. I just feel like there's so many scenes that happen, so much stuff happens, but it's still so slow as it's happening. And as I become a fan, if I become a fan, maybe I'll sort of tune that out a little bit. I feel like there's definitely some time to adjust and kind of get into the series. But so far, I like it. I love the dynamic between them. I just feel like it's a bit slow.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with you on some of those points. I mean, I do feel like, you know, there is a lot of filler with some of these episodes. I mean, it's one of those TV shows that, you know, like I was saying earlier, each episode is different. So they do feel, you know, some of the episodes aren't the greatest. And it does feel like some of the episodes are forced. And like JP said, we'll get into that later on in the series. But I do feel that this episode was mainly committed to the dynamic of getting to know the two main characters, Mulder and Scully.
And it does a good job doing that, and it sets up the like core of what it's about in terms of like I want to believe and this eerie atmosphere. There's definitely some eerie stuff going on. And, you know, it just has that magical sense to it, you know, that just odd, eerie, oddity type thing that I like. It's the mysteriousness of it. It's the mystery. You want to know more. You want to know how deep does this go? How big is this thing?
Yeah, and I think that like what I'm about to kind of talk about with the end of this episode, we'll kind of get into that. Like, you know, it leaves you wondering like what are these characters about? I mean, with this episode, like I was saying, the character dynamic and like learning about, hey, you know, this is who Scully is. You know, she's this very straightforward non-skepticist. And then this is who Mulder is. He's a very huge conspiracy learning or viewing slash guy who knows his sister was or thinks his sister was abducted by aliens. These are these two people who are complete opposites, and we're going to put them in a show together and, you know, throw these random episodes and random things at them and see what happens. I just think it makes for like a really good series. And honestly, you know, 9 seasons later, which they're about to make a 10th season, obviously that made, you know, obviously the dynamic made sense. So, to kind of get into the last part of the episode, to kind of recap before we do this, the whole episode's about basically these random murders. You got these random little things popping up on people's backs, which look like little, honestly, they look like vampire bites. They're like little, like JP said, warts. There's two of them usually on people's backs. Mulder and Scully are investigating these. They travel to Oregon to investigate.
The man tries to hold him down from succeeding.
Exactly. The man tries to hold him down from succeeding this. You know, they exhume these bodies. There's these, there's nothing, there's no corpses, human corpses in these, you know, caskets. And they start examining that. They talk to some of the townspeople, and the townspeople are, you know, kind of covering this whole thing up. And that's where we're kind of at right now. We're in the woods. Mulder saw this, you know, saw Billy, that, you know, was holding this girl up. The girl got taken and then got put back down on the ground, which looks like Billy didn't do it. And then Billy's little bites, you know, are gone. They're completely gone. So that's pretty much where we're at. It cuts out. This is the final scene where Billy is sitting in the FBI headquarters explaining to FBI agents and the, you know, the division head what the light was. And he's being interrogated. So he basically says to them, and this is kind of almost word for word what I wrote down here. He says that the light that took him, it took him to a testing place, and it wanted him to gather other people so they can do tests. So he doesn't necessarily say it was alien, but you can tell that it was beyond human. It wasn't a human form that took him. And he says that they put something in his head, and they told him to wait for orders, and the light gave him orders, and the test eventually did not work, and these so-called aliens or extraterrestrials wanted everything to be destroyed. So pretty much Billy is saying that like aliens took him, they put a probe in his head, the probe told him what to do, he ended up going to this light, the light told him what to do, and he the test that they were trying to make on these humans did not succeed, and they wanted everything destroyed. So that's kind of where Billy is going with the story. In the room, while this is all being said, the cigarette smoking man, which we talked about originally, you know, at the beginning of the episode, who was in the room with Scully as she was being, you know, interrogated or briefed about Mulder. He's standing there behind Mulder, kind of listening to all this, listening to Billy talk about all this. Then it kind of cuts out, and this is like the very end of the episode. Scully's wrote a report for the FBI about the incident. The FBI is saying that she has no scientific basis on the incident.
Yeah, everything's kind of inconclusive and just like, yeah, this kind of happened, I think, but I'm not sure.
Exactly. Yeah, they're kind of like, what, you know, the they're looking at her like, why did you write this? This has no basis whatsoever. You don't have none of this will basically hold up in court.
Yeah, and they do look a little bit surprised, like, this might not be going how we expected.
Exactly. Yeah, you could tell there's some hesitation on both the people that are sitting in the room with her, and the cigarette smoking man is not in the room with her at this time. The two other guys are, and they're just kind of like, how is this going to hold up in court, basically?
Yeah, and they're like, you got nothing. And then
she pulls out a little vial and she's like, the only thing that I have that's evidence is the device that I pulled from one of the exhumed corpses that has the – it's like a little probe. It looks like a little – it almost reminds me of a like a fuse for a – I don't know, like a flashlight or something. It looks like a fuse for a flashlight, and it's in a vial, and she puts it down on the table, and she's like, this is what I pulled from the nose of an exhumed corpse. This is the only scientific – or not scientific. This is the only, like, basically proof that I have that any of this stuff happened.
Yeah, and, which it does a few things. One, as an audience, at least I'm pretty sure we didn't see that – we didn't know that she had that, right?
No. I had no idea that she pulled that.
Okay. So one, it you know – lets us know that Scully once again is on top of her game and she is ahead of the game, being us, the audience. So it establishes that she is once again a strong character and very in control, and almost that she is on the team, the Mulder team, and that she, you know, kind of one-upped what they were saying. So it does a lot of things, and it's a great scene. Like, I like that reveal a lot.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that a lot, because like, I remember when I first watched it, or like, I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I watched it, I was like, wow, that, you know, she really, you know, she was really smart in grabbing that, mm-hmm. because literally they would have no basis off of her story that she's giving to prove anything otherwise. So she pretty much gave them proof that, hey, this is what, and she was saying to the division head, she's like, this has no... you know, we ran, you know, what this was, and it has nothing to do with human, you know, we didn't make this, basically. Yeah. Like, the compound that's made with this is not from human life. Like, we didn't create this. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool. And to kind of end the episode, she walks out of the room, and as she's walking out, she's in the hallway, and the cigarette smoking man, he goes back into the FBI room, and, you know, you kind of see at that point the cigarette smoking man has something going on with what everybody in the head of the FBI knows about what's going on with these conspiracies or these cover-ups or, you know, whatever you want to call them at this point, these stories. These X-Files. And then it cuts off again. You see a scene where Scully's laying in the bed. She gets a call from Mulder. Mulder says that all the paperwork on Billy Miles, which was the guy obviously you saw in the woods, of all the stuff that happened to him, it was destroyed.
There's no record of any of this. So essentially what he's saying is, like, somebody covered it up. And are you, like, you know, this is what's going on, Scully.
Yeah, pretty much like, hey, you know, this, you know, there were records of this. Now there's not. Obviously, we debunked this story. We figured out what was going on. Now there's no paperwork or anything assuming that this happened. So I thought it was a really cool scene, because a lot of the rest of the episode, or a lot of the rest of the seasons and you know, the series itself, a lot of episodes are like that, where, you know, they try to disprove things. They do, and it ends up getting covered up, basically. So that's a big scene there. The biggest scene of the whole show, though, in my opinion, was the final scene, which is this scene, was the cigarette-smoking man at the end of the episode, within the last couple of – I think it's the last minute of the episode. He's walking in a huge vault full of, like it looks like a bunch of files. Like, if you were, like –
It's a warehouse.
Warehouse, yeah, full of, like, big boxes and files. and he has the nose implant that Mulder or that Scully gave the FBI, and he puts it into the vault, or basically puts it into a file, and he walks out and the door closes and it zooms in and you see that it's a warehouse in the Pentagon. It's like the middle of the Pentagon.
Yeah, so. Which is a great scene because he pulls out right away the vibe that you get as a viewer is there's tons of stuff in here, right? This is a big place. And then once you get closer, he pulls out a box. In the box is a pretty serious case. It's like this little holder that looks like it was designed specifically for this reason. So you know that it's impressive and it's something that that there's a lot of things going on. So he puts the vial into this case with other vials, and that's when you know, like, this shit is huge. Like, this shit is going on for a long time.
This reaches, like, the depths of, like, the world. Like, this is, like, this stuff like this has been going on forever. You kind of realize that, obviously, it's in the Pentagon. The government knows about all this stuff, and they're categorizing this stuff and putting it in a vault. So,
yeah, the fact that they have multiple of what he stuck in there means that they know about everything already. They know more than our characters know.
And another thing about this scene is that really I like a lot about it was you realize that this cigarette smoking man or this guy, you know, they call him the cigarette smoking man, but he's just basically a random character who's throughout the series. He plays a big part in all this, everything to do with the series. Like, you find that out the first episode, and I really like that a lot. That's a really good character development, just like from the first episode, that this guy has a big part in like this. He's going to be a big part in the rest of the series. So. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool thing. So,
absolutely. So that's it. That's the episode, guys. That is the first episode of The X-Files. Obviously, this first show is going to be a little bit longer as we did the big intro and talked about what we was going to do, talked about ourselves. But, you know, I had fun. Did you have fun, Kyle?
I had so much fun. Like, I love talking about these episodes. I love revisiting these episodes. If you guys – you know, like I was saying earlier, if you guys really, you know, maybe some of you guys are big fans of the show already. If you're not, I really encourage you guys to watch these episodes. Even after we talk about and spoil episode, it's really cool to watch them. So I had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So you ready to get out of here, man?
Yeah, man. Definitely.
All right. So please, this is our first episode. Check it out. We're going to try to get these on iTunes. They'll be on the website, hopefully weekly. If you guys like it, we'll keep doing them. I had a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a great series if we continue it along. It all depends on you guys listening and giving us feedback. I am JP from the 22 Shots, Double Shot J on YouTube, Twitter, all that shit's on the website. That is Kyle, the Horror File. Anything you want to say, Kyle? Anything you want to plug?
I mean, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys listen to future episodes. Check out my YouTube channel at The Horror File. I have an Instagram page at The Horror File, and also have a Facebook page it's facebook.com/The Horror File. Check those out. Subscribe to my page. I do a lot of, you know, horror reviews and things of that nature, just like JP does. And definitely subscribe to the podcast if you guys like it. Hopefully this will keep going, and I really enjoyed doing this first episode for you guys.
All right, so that wraps it up. We will see you guys in episode 2. Until then, talk to you later.